Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Well, hey, everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back to FSD. Oh my gosh, it's been so long since I've made a video. I don't even know if I remember how to do this, so please forgive me if my normal setup doesn't work, if the video isn't right, if the audio isn't right. I'm triple checking everything. When you get out of practice, you get a little rusty. Software release 14.1 on FSD build 2025-32.8.5. on navigation data 2025.20. I've got a root in here. I've already had a video on the release notes. I do want you to realize there is no traffic aware cruise control or no auto steer in this. It's FSD only. They have changed the profiles. I am in driving and standard profile. There is a chill and a sloth and a hurry mode. Maybe we'll play with that on the drive today. And basically the release notes have a lot of good stuff in it. Notice the start self-driving button up on the front right. I wanted to start from the start of a skinny driveway here, but you notice it's got me going over to the stop sign to the right, which is not where my corner is. And if you notice, Chuck's corner is even on a POI now. So I'm going to probably manually drive it out of the driveway and go left and let it reroute and see if it'll go towards the corner. And then we'll start FSD driving over there. So here we go on the first drive on FSD version 14.1. We'll see if we can get a couple unprotected left turns. And notice, pull down to activate, and there we go. I'm gonna activate now that it's got the route. And we're going to the right for the unprotected left turn. The UI is a little bit different. Notice we have self-driving standard mode here. Pay attention to the road, Chuck. I'm looking at the screen too much. There's left and right. Nice stop sign here. It did not roll that, just for information. And here's a speed bump, and it's slowing. It took it at 13. Blinker is on. All right, here we go. You guys can feel my energy, I bet. I haven't done this in a while on video. 8:28 in the morning, it's Tuesday morning, a little bit after rush hour, but I would call this light to medium. Full stop at the NHTSA stop there and a creep. Hey, but we actually got a little bit of traffic here. There's a little gap here to the left and a large one to the right. So it should go in this little gap if it's got confidence. Let's see if it does it. Oh, look at those question marks back. A little right, a little left, and nobody coming from the right. But there was a slight question mark there. Thank you, FSD team. I really appreciate you putting that question mark in there, mostly because the Cybertruck has to have it. I'm going to go ahead and go back around, do another unprotected left or two. We'll see how they go, and then we'll do a U-turn and then do a non-stop video there. So I'm probably going to cut it right here at this turn and manually do the U-turn so I don't mess up my route. Stick with me. Okay, here we are at the beginning. This time I've got the route left. I'm going to just start self-driving. That was kind of new. So the UI is a little bit different with how you can initiate self-driving. It doesn't always have to be the stalk. That new start self-driving from the screen is great. Full NHTSA stop, not rolling anything there. I can't see to the left. I've got to creep out. All right, this is not a very hard one from the left. Okay, this is going to be a gimme. Nice question mark, though. It's not going to pause at all. So, yeah, we're going to have to do a couple of these. I can't let it get away with the first test on version 14.1 being that simple. So, there's two unprotected lefts. No problem. They were both gimmies is what I'm going to call it. All right, stick with me. We'll be back in a second. All right, here we go. This time I put it in park. We're gonna start self-driving straight from park. It put it into gear. No need for the brake. I did not have that turned on. Another unprotected left. Got a little oncoming traffic coming there. I tried to wait for a little bit of a gap of traffic. We'll see if I got it. We'll probably make this the last one, and then we'll proceed on our first impressions drive. Full NHTSA stop three times in a row. And we got a couple little gaps from the left, and no gaps, spattered gaps on the right. Oh, this guy is turning left here. He's going to do a U-turn. That's going to change the whole dynamic. Now we can't go. It did not even creep because of him. Now we're waiting, and traffic is full from the left and from the right. This is good. Okay, this is what I would call medium traffic. okay, we got two cars, and then we're wide open from the left, but we're not from the right. Is it gonna go to the median? It is. Look at that, we're going to the median. Nice question mark. Now we can't make it back. Now we got a car behind us. We got one, two, the left lane is open. Is it gonna go? It's going in the left lane. Nice job. Tesla AI, that was a really good one. I don't know if you can see through that car or not, but you did a really good job there. I'm gonna go ahead and edit my trip. Sorry for my voice, guys. I'm gonna go ahead and do that. And then I need to add a stop. Uh-oh, nope, add that stop. Add a point. Uh-oh, is this gonna work in time? I need to go back to the Gate Express. Done. Okay, I missed my U-turn here, so it's gonna reroute and go back the other way. Pay attention to the road, Chuck. All right, so it is gonna do a U-turn now. It's program one. It's just doing it at a different spot than I've done before. That doesn't matter. It's not gonna have this curve in it, but we are gonna get to see the full U-turn experience here. What it sees, it's got a wide open gap here. It does have to look through the trees. It's gotta measure its radius of turn. It's got a U-turn mapped. Like a boss. It didn't even flinch. Slow, smooth. Ah, the windshield wipers. Do you see that? It's not raining. Maybe my windshield's a little dirty. We could play with that, but you know, here I'll give it a little wash, but I don't know. I'm not gonna blame that one. The windshield wiper is not perfectly clean. I didn't do everything I normally do to get going in the morning on windshield cleaning, but camera visibility limit. We did get that warning, and you know, it did talk about that alert. Clean all dirt from camera, and that is definitely the forward-facing camera there. Okay, I can't swipe that away. These used to come up at the end of the drive, if you remember. I need to pay attention to the road, Chuck. Man, I am looking at the screen a lot. What do I got here? Gate Express, that's correct, and then we're gonna go to Wilson Boulevard. The reason I put the supercharger in there is because I want to see if it's going to back up all the way into the supercharger. I don't know. I didn't set a destination to park into a spot or not. Is it asking me how to end? Standard. Can I select that? Standard. There it is. Park. Curbside. Parking lot. These are my choices. So right now I have parking lot. Oh, charger. That's what I'm selecting because that's where I'm going to go is a charger spot. I'm in standard mode and at destination park. There we go. Wow, that's a great new feature. I mean, that's exactly what I would want to do if I was going to a supercharger, is take me all the way into a spot, back me in, and then I have to physically get out for now and plug it in. But, okay, so as we go to Gate Express, this next turn is the narrow road scenario. We have not had problems with narrow roads since version 12. Version 13 was solid. I kind of quit testing it because it just did fine, but we're just gonna kind of keep that in the scenario. It does have a great scenario at the end of it with a center turn lane is what they're called. There's a kind of a more egregious name that some people have asked me to stop using, but it is a center turn lane without a median. It'll be interesting to see if FSD will use that median if we get that same scenario here. Okay, did you see the alert finally went away for the camera cleaning? I couldn't swipe it away, but it gave me the alert. That is a new behavior rather than at the end of the drive. Nice flashing yellow, little gap here going across railroad tracks. Unfortunately, no railroad crossing at the moment. Increased attention required. Keep your eyes on the road. That's a new alert. Why is increased attention required? Was it because of those railroad tracks? That's an interesting thought. I don't know if that's what it was or not. Interesting. Let me see. You guys keep an eye on that. See if that comes back up. All right. Full NHTSA stops here. I am not doing anything touching the accelerator, of course. Ooh, that's an uncharacteristic creep and stop there. You probably didn't feel that in the video camera, but instead of a slow creep out, it crept stop. And I think that oncoming car was creating that behavior. Two oncoming cars here. You can see the drivable space is very close to the road, not flinching, not stopping. It's using the full road surface. There's the rear view camera to look at it. Yeah. This narrow roads is fine. But that creeping behavior was interesting. It was reacting to that other car, I think. Let's see if it does it here. I felt something different on that roll too. I don't know what to call it yet. I felt something different. Like it wasn't a smooth acceleration. Like it's a new creep behavior is what I'm going to call it. We're behind this truck here who's constraining our speed a little bit, but it's also constraining our visibility. We can't see really around it. I can lean over to the left and I can see there are no cars here. He's turning right. We've got this double median, a double road with a wide median here. Sometimes it's treated this as one road stop and then two. There's no cars coming and it's going just fine. Yeah, so one more speed bump to go. Lots of shadows on this road. I don't see anything out of the usual here other than one more speed bump to go. So I'm gonna go ahead and turn those cameras off. And our next turn is this, turn up here to the left into the center turn lane. And I don't know if it's me or not, but I'm looking for it's up here. I was gonna turn my road up there. So it's up north. Okay. So now you can see that. Let me go back to widescreen mode. There's our stop. It needs to creep, and it looks like it's got it wide open to the left because of the stoplight. There's traffic coming from the right, though, and it's not going to the center turn lane. So that is interesting. On my unprotected left turn, it went to the median. Now it's choosing to wait. You know, if I slide here, you can kind of see there's oncoming cars coming. There is no gap now. It's wide open to the right. So it chose to wait on both sides being clear with a center turn lane in this scenario. You know, we've made videos together, you watched them with me, where it went into that center turn lane. Now, I don't know that it planned to do that or if it bailed out into the center turn lane. That's two different scenarios. But it's nice and waiting. I do have a car behind me, so I'm constrained a little bit by I can't wait all day. But there's no gaps here now anyway, and I expect when it's open, it's gonna go. But if it does wait for both sides to be clear, it might have to wait on the stoplight to create that scenario. Yeah, we're just gonna wait here. Okay, the right side's open again, but the left is all full up. All right, about another 3 or 4 seconds, and we got a nice gap from the left, but there's a few cars from the right. It's a small gap, it can go right now. Oh, look, it's gonna go to the center turn lane. Is it gonna wait or is it gonna take that? It's gotta wait. Nice. And it waited. So it did use the center turn lane as a pausing location. That's interesting. So I said it didn't use the center turn lane. It waited a while and then it realized I gotta go. I've waited long enough, maybe is what it was kind of feeling. And it proceeded into the center turn lane. But if you noticed, it was a merge. Using the center turn line. It never completely stopped, but it used it and then waited on the oncoming car without, it didn't scare me at all. I didn't think it was gonna jump out in front of that traffic. I felt the left turn enough that I knew it wasn't gonna go into that lane. That's how it felt. I know you guys are watching a video, but that's how it felt. So, hey FSD14, Tesla AI, center turn lanes, unprotected left turns. I know I gave you easy peasy on the unprotected left today, but so far, smooth as butter. Okay, so we are now going through to the supercharger, a Wilson Boulevard supercharger. We do have park set. A little bit of construction over here to the left. Car jumping and crossing unprotected there. Visualization is the same. Cones are represented as occupancy network blob still, so the UI did not change at all on the UI for cones and construction and that sort of thing. Didn't really have to go around anything. We do have some stuff in the road over there to the left in the center turn lane, and it is visualized with a occupancy network blob. Now we do have our school zone up here, but it is 8:42 and I think we're after hours here. So it right there, school zone went flashing. It is not flashing, and you can see it's not budging. It went around that puddle of water back there, guys. If you didn't see that, go back a few frames. It went around a puddle of water. So that is going around objects on the road for the first time I've seen it. It was very subtle. It was a big puddle, and it just proceeded right around it. All right, so while we're at the stop sign, I'm gonna go through this UI just a little bit here and look at some things. So I've got, you know, if I use my scroll wheel here, see that? I'm going to hurry, hurry's up, standard, chill, sloth mode is down. So this wheel here on the right does that. The left wheel is still volume and stuff like that. If I do a right, oh, look at that, left and right, and scrolling controls this. So this button, both scroll and toggle left and right, controls this. That seems a little redundant. You know, those of you that want to be able to control the max speed are going to be pretty upset about that, because you're like, well, you could have just done left and right for the controls, and why couldn't you have left the speed? To me, that means they do not want to give you control of your max speed. And I can come back in here again, and here's the at destination section. I've got it set at park, curbside. Interesting, if I go curbside, look how it takes away the charger. I hit park again, I've got parking lot and charger. So this is a context sensitive menu here about the destination. Oh, and I didn't have to wipe it away. It went away after a few seconds. And I've been looking at the screen the whole time here, and you've probably noticed it hasn't given me one pay attention to the road. So just like the previous version, it allows you to look at the screen when you're not driving. And if I look at the screen probably while we're driving, it's probably gonna say, start paying attention to the road here. All right, car jumped out in front of us a little bit there, and it did not go around it. We got a turn coming up here to the right. Guys, this feels really good. Now listen, version 13.2.9 was good too. So, you know, as everyone has said, you know, to really get the corner cases on this software, we're going to have to get to those things people are really worried about, like gates, the crossbars. You know, maybe some of the school buses and that sort of thing. We got to get the scenarios to evolve. Okay, although this is kind of a boss problem here, this is the function of a Tesla, right? Going to the supercharger and parking. Auto park is, you know, what we had before, and this is now FSD 14 parking, which is a different stack. We do have a school bus here. It's not driving, no stop signs. It's slowly just treating it like a blocked car. There are a couple spots open, and let's see what it decides to do. It's got a left blinker on. Notice how it's not doing the parking stack. Oh my God, that was like a one shot. One shot. Oh my gosh. Holy smokes. That was awesome. And now here we are ready to go. So, you know, it's in park. I'm gonna just hit tap self-driving. We're gonna say I charge and we're gonna say we go. And here we go. We're gonna pull out of the spot. Oh, look, he's backing out. I don't know if you can see him in front. It started ooching out and then traffic changed the dynamic. We got a right blinker on coming out of a parking space. Guys, that parking was awesome. I mean, really good. Let me go ahead and edit my trip here if I can make it work. Okay, I-10 295 done. That should give me my route. So guys, we backed into a spot. Now all we need is Optimus to plug us in, or in a wireless charging scenario, you just parked right on top of a pad. I know that's not coming on our cars, but as far as functionality of the self-driving system, being able to get to a charger very, very confidently parking, so much better than auto park. And I didn't have to deal with start and stop. It just did it. Nice merge there. No traffic really to speak of. It chose the right moment to go. And then we're turning right. And then we're going to join the highway. And we'll get a little bit of highway mode here. Maybe we'll play with some of the speed profiles just to kind of get a sense. Light turned green. Didn't hesitate. Guy, it's really driving smooth. You know, the release notes didn't say one thing about the parameter count. And, you know, kind of leading up to this version 14, where we heard 4 times, 10 times... There was a little bit of a pause there, and I think it was this pedestrian. I don't know if you saw that, but I felt it. There was a weird pause, and I'm like, why is it slowing down? It was a pedestrian that was getting ready to jaywalk, and it detected it. Another great reaction. You know, as a pilot, you feel things in the airplane. You feel angle of bank. You feel acceleration. You feel deceleration. You may not know those sort of sensations, but... I'm kind of using that same sort of reaction of like, whoa, something just happened. And then a quick look around to assess the situation. Those tiny little tugs make me think it saw something I didn't. And in that case, it was another pedestrian. Feel that again? It was another acceleration and then a stop, and then it proceeded. That was almost like a, is somebody gonna run the red light kind of a pause. Like, is that car doing something I don't expect? It wasn't a smooth pause. It was a sudden jerk. I don't know if my CAN bus data is gonna be working today. I think I've got it recording. If I am recording the CAN bus data and you see it, you know, maybe you'll be able to see those accelerations up on the car. I'm feeling tiny little tugs that I did not feel in version 13 2.9. Those tugs are, I don't want to say they're more precision, but it's not like they've glossed over everything and are just YOLOing it and saying we're going to go. It's like it's more precise. With that preciseness comes a little bit of jerkiness that the car is doing, but it's with the reaction time that I think we didn't have before, or version 13 glossed over those acceleration deceleration needs. Okay, we just got a second here, so I'm gonna go ahead and go to hurry mode here. Boom, as soon as I go to hurry mode, that left blinker came on. I don't know if you saw that, but the blinker came off. I got 2.1 miles, so is it deciding to stay in the left lane? I don't know. Or is it, you know how sometimes FSD 13, there, look, no, it was waiting on that car to get out of my way, so it didn't annoy him with my blinker, but then it turned it off again. That's interesting. So it's like hurry wants to get in that lane, and navigation is like, why are you gonna do that? We're turning right in 1.7 miles. Now it's doing it again, but it's doing it after this car. So it's almost like it's politely, but it's not going again. There's another gap. So by putting it in hurry, I've got it into get in the left lane mindset. But it feels like navigation is just saying, don't do that. It's almost like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde brain here of what to do. Now we got another gap. Is it gonna get in the left lane? It's not. And I'm convinced that it's not getting in the left lane now because of the navigation to turn right in 1.2 miles. All right, I'm gonna quickly go all the way to sloth mode just to see what does sloth mode do on the highway. I didn't feel a difference there. Is it gonna, I've got a car constraining my speed in front of me, so I can't really tell if it's gonna slow below the speed limit without a constraint or not, but I can tell you it didn't do anything drastic. It kept doing what it was doing. The speed of 58 does kind of correlate with what sloth mode might be, but it's because of a car in front of me here. We got a couple cars merging. I'm gonna scroll it back into standard mode and nothing changed again. I'm gonna throw it in a hurry just to see if it gives me a blinker. Hurry, no, it doesn't see it. Now it's got navigation turns here. Let's leave it in hurry while we're on the highway. Let's just kind of pretend like we're in a hurry just so we can kind of see a lane changing behavior. Oh, I gotta change my route. Come on, Chuck, pay attention. Edit trip, FSD, done, Memorial Park. I haven't done this in a while, guys. I'm a little rusty. Okay, so I'm in an exit only lane, still use the blinker. That's great. We do have some rush hour traffic, it looks like, so we're gonna get a little bit of sun in your face traffic. You can see that both on the traffic diagram down here and up here. You know, I've been looking at the screen a lot. Let me do a full-on phone test here while we're in this turn. Okay, it's turning left lane, and I'm gonna pick up and I'm gonna look at my phone. One potato, two potato, three potato, four potato, five potato, six potato, seven potato, eight potato. Pay attention to the road, about seven, a little flash there, and then a beep. Okay, I've got, I'm gonna have to use my visors because it's a little bright. Sun is kind of right here at what I'd call 2 o'clock perspective to my driving direction. Should we do that again? One potato, two potato, three potato, four potato, five potato, six potato, seven. Okay, so seven, pay attention to the roads. So that's about the same looking at a phone. Now, I don't know if we're gonna get that same sort of nag looking around for the turkeys and the deer on the highway kind of thing, but 7 seconds looking at your phone is about where 13.29 was, if I'm not mistaken. I do have a, you know what I also know is the green and the orange dots are not up here. So I don't have the visual indication if this is being used, which I think it is because I'm not tugging on the wheel. I don't have the increased attention required. Keep your eyes on the road. Okay, that came as soon as this traffic came. You know what, guys? That might be the beginning of level 3. That increased attention, pay attention to the road, is the alert we need for level three. Level SAE level three says we have to be in the driver's seat, but we do not need to pay attention unless the car says it needs help. If during those times I had to take over or pay attention to the road and not look at my phone, we're at level three. So I think we're now seeing the beginning of SAE level three with that increased pay attention to the road alert. It didn't come with any sort of beeps or anything. I'll have to start looking away or something like that. But you know, the pay attention to the road and the increased attention are kind of two different things. But so far on this drive, it did it in traffic and it did it at the railroad crossing. I think we're probably gonna get some more scenarios where we see it, so we'll kind of start to feel for what that alert is probably for. But wow, if we're just like a couple software releases away from SAE level three, 90% of Tesla owners are gonna be happy. It's not about not wanting to be in the driver's seat. It's about truly being a passenger and not needing to pay attention. Now, granted, if you're in the back seat and you're doing a road trip, you know, with multiple supercharger stops, what's wrong with sitting in the front seat? You got things to do, you know, things can happen. But if you truly can watch a Netflix video, oh, and imagine if they allowed the screen to be used for social media or for entertainment purposes and things like that, and you can look at your phone and that. There was an ex post this week from the Tesla account that said, driving an FSD is like being teleported. I truly resonate with that feeling, is that when you don't have to pay attention to the road, you really won't care how long you're driving. Your bladder and or your deep thrombosis in your legs are gonna be your limiting factors if you're of that age to have that problem with your legs. You know, movement, you know, everybody has the bladder issue unless you pee in a bottle. But I don't know. I guess you could say battery range, but there were a couple times in my Cybertruck on that drive back and forth to Cape Cod for my striper fishing trip where the darn Cybertruck, you know, was getting 348 watt hours per mile, and I was going like 5 hours on the charge from when I started at a high rate of charge from the origination. That's too long. I need to pee before that, as do most humans. Anyway, it's just another one of those points talking about range and how much range do you need. I do wish it was more than 300. I do feel the 350 to 450 is a sweet spot. 500 is great for a towing vehicle because you lose about, you know, I'm not going to give a number, but a lot of that based on the weight you're towing. I see the need for the truck having much more range than it does if you're a tower. Especially long range towing on the highway, it just eats the battery alive. Notice how the truck here's got his blinker on. Do you see that? It decided not to let him go, but I've seen scenarios where the car on the previous version was polite and was the driver that let him in. It didn't do that there. It had time to do it. I didn't see any indication of the blinker on the truck. The truck is so long though, a regular car with a blinker just has to do a little bit of a nose in modification. All right, we're in hurry mode and it jumped in the right lane. You see that? It saw an opportunity and passed that car there. Is it going to get back in the left? There's a gap. Is it going to do it? It did. Oh, it's a tight gap too. Is it going to take it? It's got its blinker and it's waiting on that guy to give it more distance. And it's not aggressively taking that gap. And it changed its mind. So to me, that truck is now waiting and it's not going. I'm signaling I need to get over, but I'm not. See, it's trying twice. It wants more room. Now the truck says, F you, you got, see that? And he's kind of looking at me like, I gave you room and you didn't go. FSD 1329 would go in a gap that small. I don't know, that's the second time, you know, when we put it into hurry mode initially, how it turned the blinker on, then it waited, and it turned it on again and waited. It's like it needed more room. So that is different. I'll call that one as a difference to notice. It felt like it needed more room. Normally in those small gaps on 1329, it would blinker and accelerate into the gap. Those of you that have driven a lot of highway miles know what I mean. It accelerates into the gap. Now here's another one, blinkers on. See that? Oh, that indecision is different. It went for it, but it went over and went back and then went over and then went. 1329 was much more confident in lane changes than that. So that is something to keep an eye on. That may be something that they're still polishing, and maybe why it's taken so long to get this out. You know, I'm not going to say that's unsafe. I'd say it's conservative. I'm noticing the difference on its behavior and lane changes multiple times so far, and it's more conservative. It needs more room. It's not accelerating into the gap that we had on the previous version. Now, there may be more to it than I'm just summarizing there. It may be adding additional buffers. It may be feeling the motions of other cars at a more precise level and worried about them changing into the lane. Notice how it's letting this car in. It definitely decelerated to let that car in that merge scenario. Yeah. I if you were to ask me which lane behavior you like, and if Tesla AI, you're watching this video today, I like the previous one better. I love the feel and the small of my back of an acceleration into a tight gap. I didn't feel that there, and I felt indecision, and you could see the steering wheel moving in order to kind of make its decision. Now I got a right blinker on, smooth there. If you guys were looking closely, I wonder if my vector here was showing that indecision or if it was smoothed over a little bit in order to just kind of mask it. I did see it there. Did you see the blinker turn to the right and then the vector went over and then it came back? And there's a truck back on my right quarter there that might have been the reason for that. I'm guessing that's what this is doing here. Okay, it looks like it's got a good map navigation. We're in a very busy multi-interchange section here of I-95 and I-10. If you look at the map, there's every which way to go. There's multiple ways of getting where you want to go, but it is in the right lane now, the correct lane of the being in the right lane to do it here, to take it to the right and get us over to Memorial Park. But guys, that was the highway mode. I think it was good. Definitely the lane change behavior started to kind of pop out a little bit about it needing more room, a little bit of indecision. The blinker came on multiple times that did confuse some drivers perhaps about, are you going to take the stop? I'm giving you room and you're not going. Maybe a little bit of a tweak needed there on that tightness that you had on version 13.2.9. But still, conservatively safe. You can't say it was unsafe at all. If anything, those sort of lane change decisions can lead to navigation problems. If you have to get over into a lane to make a navigation turn, it would be interesting to see. And the sun is right in my face here, so there's no issues with sun in your face on that one. I wonder if it would have been more aggressive to get into a lane in order to make a navigation turn that was critical. Or if it might have missed it and had to reroute. I've seen that, especially in the Cybertruck, a lot, where it's not in the correct lane for navigation and it just didn't do it early enough. All right, we got a couple pedestrians here. They're crossing. It's giving way. This gentleman here is not going. He's crossing the other direction. We're behind the walk here. Ooh, look at the behavior here. A little stop jerk, stop jerk, stop jerk, stop jerk. Multiple times there. And I don't know if that stop jerk was VRU, vulnerable road users, pedestrian behaviors, or if it was a creep behavior. I've already mentioned the creep was a little bit rough on a few stop signs already. I wonder if that roughness was the same sort of thing there, was that yield, kind of the creeping behavior is rough. Stop, go, kind of a feeling. It's almost like you're feeling every iteration rather than get into a good position to see and then go. Yeah, guys, we're almost halfway through this drive, and we're doing good. All right, so what do I have here for parking at Memorial Park? Park, parking lot. I'm going to call park, parking lot. I'm just going to leave that up because I think it goes away. Let's see if it goes away. Good lane selection. There's no traffic here. Before, it's kind of had to fight its way over into the correct lane before with traffic lined up here. But now we're kind of in a little bit of a suburban scenario here. Speed limit's 30 and it's going 36. I'd say in hurry mode, that's aggressive. Let's play with sloth mode. I'm going to go all the way down to sloth. Boom. Immediately slows down. You see that? So in sloth mode, it went all the way to 30. If I go back up to standard, is it going to speed up now? We're getting ready to turn left, so probably not. So sloth mode is a good example. Hurry mode, it was at 36 and a 30. Sloth mode, it slowed down to the speed limit. It didn't go below the speed limit, right to the speed limit. All right, here we kind of got a little angle turn here. It's got to look to the right for oncoming traffic. We do have a center turn lane here that it's not using. We have a dog, a pedestrian. It's got to wait for like a boss. All right, it went straight on in there. Okay, now we're at Memorial Park. And guys, this is where my chain is. And it's in park, in a parking spot mode. I don't know if it's going to be able to see a chain. We'll see if the chain's there. All right, do we have a pedestrian here? And this woman's walking on the curb, giving her room. All right, our chain is here. What's it going to do? I don't know if my pin is exactly where the chain is. Let's see, we've got a trailer there. It sees the truck. It sees the cones. Ah, shucks. You know, oh, look. Is it okay? It's changing its mind. Guys, I don't think it saw the chain, but there were occupancy network blobs there. Man, is it a boss going into parking spots or what? I mean, oh my God. It's just so freaking good. I mean, it's like, you know, that's like one shot. It's like a one-shot program. Nice job. And I'm just going to tap. Here we go again. Where's it going to go? I got my cul-de-sac mode next. Man, I tell you what. This parking is a game changer. It's going left here. That's fine. You know what? I'm gonna disengage here. And I'm going to see if auto park exists. Ah, it does. All right. I'm going to hit park. And I'm going to hit start. Guys, it's going to go into that spot. I'm in a different stack. This is the same old software. Okay, so it was going to go into that spot with the chain. I don't know. I really don't know if it's fair to say that the FSD14 stack would have gone there. I really don't know. I'm not going to call that a bust. It obviously in the auto park stack, which looked the exact same, it had the start button, it had the select the P, pick your spot. It was going to back into that chain. But the FSD14 stack, it passed it. A little squirrel here. You see that? Oh, look at that. It was braking for that squirrel. That is a tiny little animal. Now, there was a dead squirrel on the road, and it straddled it, went right over it, didn't go around it. Lots of squirrels here in Jacksonville, Florida. All right, a good stop here. Normally, I come out about a block that way, so this is a little bit different, but it is obstructed here. So let's see if we get this bumpy creep here. Okay, there, another car coming. Car from the right, car from the left. Wide open to the left. Gap from the right. It's going to go right after this car. Let's see. Okay, so I didn't feel any sort of bumpy creeping there. That was a little bit smoother. I do need to get in the left lane here. We got a flashing yellow, and we're going to go back into our cul-de-sac. Listen, we know that this car, I've got parking garage selected here. I'm going to delete this point here in a second, guys, because what we're going to expect it to do is I'm going to, and I can do add, I can add some points here while I'm waiting to our point. Oh, I'm going to get busted for looking. No, I need to edit my trip. Deleting the cul-de-sac, done. All right, so now it's got to go do a U-turn down here. And if I get an edit trip, I'm going to get busted. I know it. I'm trying to add biscottis on here. Biscottis. All right, and FSD return, done. Oh, come on. It just did a nice U-y. It didn't three-point turn it. That was on me. I've already changed it. We've got some more parking up here at 5 points. 5 points is the place, guys. If you remember, it just kind of parked in spots and crossed lanes. Look, it's going way around those pedestrians. Way around. Ooh, and look at this. A jaywalker. Nice pregnant pause there. I'm sorry to use the pregnant word there with that, but that's what it was. And it just kind of slowed. It didn't stop. Now, what am I doing here? Self-driving, standard, park, parking lot, parking garage. Okay, this is good. Parking lot, standard mode, at 5 points. 5 points is a crazy intersection. It's got, this is as non-standard as you get. It needs a traffic circle, but it's been here since the tens probably. It's a little flashing light in the middle. It's got stop signs everywhere. Some people have the right of way, but I think it's going to come over here to the right. So it's got this weird intersection. It has done everything at this intersection before based on how I manipulated the route. Like if I deleted the point, it tried to go around that little light, which it can't. It's not a traffic circle. I'm going to have it park again just to kind of see if it does a nose. Oh, look at that. Okay. Oh, do you see that stop? It stopped because of the car turning left, and then it reacted to that car kind of taking its turn and then going. Okay, so now let's see. There's angle spots to the right. Hey, look, it's in the freaking lines. Boss. See, I don't know if it saw the lines or not, but it stopped in the lines. And look, my destination may be closed when you arrive. I've got biscottis in there, which is a little restaurant just to kind of go a destination here. Okay, so now we're in the angled forward parking spots. This woman is doing a U-turn. I'm just going to start self-driving right now. It's in reverse. She, look at it. Man, look at that. Guys, it's got this. That was really good. I mean, okay. There's a lot of ways that I can probably try this 10 times. It's going to get 10 different scenarios, but it has handled the scenario very well on the parking before. Adding parking to the V14 stack is a game changer as compared to auto park. That is probably, I'm going to call, the biggest function change that I'm feeling right now. I mean, driving is driving. I mean, it's been doing really good, but to functionally add the beginning and the end of the drive, the ends of the bell curve, as I've talked about it before, you've basically got end-to-end driving now, as long as it's conservative enough when it needs to be careful. And we got a new alert to tell you when to pay more attention. Now, I am in a right-on-red scenario here, and it's not going right-on-red, and there is no not-right-on-red sign here. So I'll say, the people behind me are probably like, what are you doing? You got your blinker on and there's nobody coming. It fully waited on the green light on a right on red legal scenario. We got a loading truck here in the center turn lane. No problem. Okay, so that might be different too, guys. We got to keep an eye on that and watch everybody's videos and look for right on red scenarios. They may have turned off right on red because, as you guys know, it can't read signs. I don't think it can read signs yet. We don't know yet. It didn't have anything in the release notes about reading yet. All it said was detouring around, visually seeing obstructions in detours. It didn't say anything about sign reading. That was a fully legal in Florida right on red scenario. There was no sign that said no right on red, but it just waited. It didn't creep. It didn't do any thinking about it. There were no cars coming. It just didn't do it. To me, that's a change. That's a function change, meaning they've disabled right on red. That can create frustration for drivers behind you if you wait a long time. If you're sitting at 1 a.m. at a red light and there's nobody coming and there's 3 people behind you and you're not turning right on red, it's going to feel a little bit weird. Now, if I get another scenario like that, I might try an accelerator press just to kind of see what it'll do or if it won't do it. That's just a thought. But no right on reds might be disabled at this point. Okay, so we're back on the main road going down. I got a jaywalker here. Green light. She's crossing. See it on the map. Measured the vectors. Didn't do anything out of the ordinary. Just kind of made sure that she was going to be crossed by the time we got there. We do have some warning signs that are talking about bumps ahead. These might be potholes. Oh, let's see. Now, these are metal plates on the road. Some repaving going on to fix the potholes. So this pothole road may be gone now. Actually, this has been repaved since I've been here on a video drive. I'm trying to figure out what mode I should go into. Let's go back into sloth mode and just see if we notice anything different. Rurally, anyway. I mean, is sloth slower than chill was? That's kind of what I want to know. We do have an ambulance up there going away from us. I don't think we're going to get a chance to interact with it because the hospital is up here, and more than likely it's going to the emergency room. Ooh, yellow light. Let's see there. Nice. It didn't flinch, didn't double tap, didn't do anything like that. Yellow lights have been fine for a long time. I do like to see when you're at the last minute and it's a 50-50, should you go or stop, where it makes the decision with an acceleration or a continuing of the current speed, but it just kind of stopped there. All right. What's coming up here? Got some more pedestrian aggressions. It's rural, kind of some speed things. We'll kind of see. We're in sloth mode now and accelerating all the way to 30. Flashing yellow. Ooh, look at that. Okay, there was definitely a pause there. Why? Was it that pedestrian? Is it? Oh, look at this. Very good. Stop here for pedestrian. She's crossing. Fully gave right away to that pedestrian. That was a really good interaction that you can't really create the scenario on, but it behaved perfectly. Behaved perfectly. That's exactly what you want. So sloth mode just seems to be no faster than the speed limit. So let me go to chill and see if we get a couple miles over the speed limit in chill mode. You know, the visualization here, I'm still going to kind of say is a little janky. Nothing changed here. You know, are we going to see how the lights are coming in and out as controlling or not controlling? It's still showing the light, but it's that one over on the right that I'm talking about there. It's kind of flickering in and out. The left one's staying controlling, our left green there. It's reacting to them correctly, which means that this may just be a UI thing and they're not spending time to make that right, but it is still the way it has been. All right, right on red test here, guys. What's it going to do? Oh, look at it. Oh my gosh, that was it went for it. But did you feel or see both of those tugs? A very jerky, indecisive feeling. Can I go? Am I allowed to go? It felt like there was another, you know, I wonder if there's another stack creeping in there. Like, I have no idea the architecture of this neural network we're driving under, but I wonder if these creeping intersections have a different stack that has a completely different behavior and feel when it's integrated into the net. That's what it feels like to me. It's like somebody else is driving when you're at intersections. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like the other stack that's being so smooth. Lane changes feels like another person's driving. Intersections feels like another person's driving. Everything else kind of feels consistent. So, I don't know, it's just a way for me to try to describe what I'm feeling in the car. And you know, Tesla AI, if you're listening and watching this, I don't know how you guys manage that sort of net, but it's fascinating to think through how you merge all that to be the unified net. Man, maybe that's what we've been hearing about a little bit recently with how we're trying to get all these things working together. But anyway, just talking first impressions and how it feels. So I am in chill mode and notice I'm at 33. I'm gonna go to sloth mode, boom, straight down to 30. Sloth mode is the no speeding profile. That's what I just learned. No speeding. It's 30, it's going 30. If I go to chill mode, it was doing 33. And I bet if I go to hurry mode, it'll go 36, 39. So there's a percentage or some sort of range in there that it's doing logic and allowing it to exceed the speed limit. So here I put it into hurry mode, for example, and it's not jumping to 36, but it's working its way up there. All right, as we're going through Biscotti's here, I got to delete that. Then we're going to add the FSD return. And then, we're almost... I just saw an FSD may be degraded message. It happened right when I did the navigation change. I think that's legacy. When it's rerouting, I think I think that's what that was. I don't know if it happened on any of the previous route changes I did or not. You know, I probably could have left Biscotti's in here and had it park here too. This is an interesting place to park also. You know what, guys? I want to do that. I'm going to do it. So that was Chuck disengaging. I'm going to add, only because I want to know if this is what I want to do on my routes in the future. I want to, it's an amazing place to try to park. I'm going to put Biscotti's in there. Chuck's driving. The car's not. I need to get it into a position to come back around to that little village. And when it sees... human driving, be careful. Lots of things going on. Don't get distracted. I am a worse driver, no doubt about it, when I'm driving than I used to be because I drive so much on FSD. It is a thing. So be aware of it. Be aware of your human, you know, fallacies. Start self-driving. I tapped it while I had my foot was on the accelerator just to kind of keep me going there. But we'll do a little right turn and a park at the Biscotti's kind of point. Ooh, see that again? I have the right of way. I have the right of way, and it is really, really rough at intersections, thinking through the creep or whatever. Four-way stops on 1329 were much better. That was a four-way or a two-way anyway, and we had another person. It was my turn to go. It went, stopped, went, stopped. So it's not unsafe, but it's definitely indecisive and could create confusion. The way it handled that right on red, you know, it did the right on red, but it did it in a much less confident way. Okay, we're back kind of right around the block. We're in this little village again with some stop signs and parking spaces. Now, Biscotti's is on the left. There's parking spaces on the left and the right. I would not try to do the left because the angled spots go back to the left. It's got a right blinker on. So now, this is what's so interesting about this village is there's not much parking. This time of day, there might be. So do you feel it thinking? Where's a spot? Where's a spot? Look at it. Oh, look, it's going to go around the block. It's already remapped it. Now, look at this. There's a handicap spot right here. It doesn't look like it's going to take it. It might. Now, if it does take that handicap spot, what do you guys think? I mean, obviously, that's not legal. How do you train that? You need a button for allowed to park in handicapped? You tell me. I mean, it can see color, I'm sure, right? So maybe it can start to see the blue lines and things that are standardized with that. Internationally, I can't speak to that. Oh, it's going to take it. Okay, so it took it. So what do you guys think? It had remapped it, but then this spot opened up. It perfectly parked into a spot I, as a driver, am not allowed to park into. So if this is a robo-taxi, is that a big deal? It's illegal. I can get a ticket right now. I'm going to go ahead and tap self-driving and continue to talk about this. Now, look, it's got a back out. Great camera view. Okay, that is this car in the opposite lane, like a is it going to make it? God, that's a tight. It did. God, but the parking mode is so great to have. It is a game changer on driving point to point. Back to that handicap spot. What should it do and how should Tesla handle that? The only thing I can think of is to be able to identify them. I don't know if they can do that yet. Can you do handicapped identification signs? Obviously, you can pull in and then you see it and you got to back out again if it's the wrong spot. We do that as humans, right? You know, oops, this is handicapped. I'm not allowed to park here. Yeah. And how do you know if the driver is allowed? The only way to do it would be use HOVs, you got to switch, use handicap parking, use a switch, but then you got to train the network to be able to identify what is what. Interesting thought there. Never thought about that before, but it's a use case now that you know how to park. And that's another reason to be in the seat, level 3, you take over, you do what you want at that situation. I don't know. Lots of cones here on the right, occupancy network blobs, you still see them. I really wish the Kona asset was back, but I don't know. They invested in making it. Why'd they take it away? All right, we're here on the S-curve. It hasn't had problems with this since the old, ooh, it tugged when it saw that bike. You heard me stop. I felt a tug and a deceleration. It was that bicyclist on the sidewalk. It just saw it. It gave a slight tug. The person right on my tail probably saw my brake lights, and it decelerated just a little bit. It's not going around manhole covers, which it shouldn't. It should straddle them, but these big manhole covers on this road and some of the roads around could look like potholes to a camera, but it's not reacting to them. I've seen it go right over them. Pedestrian on the right measured her trajectory perfectly as she was walking away from us. So fine there. No issues there. Car coming up from the right. We're getting ready to join the traffic circle. This is a baby neighborhood traffic circle. It's got a left blinker on, which is kind of awkward for what it needs to do. But I don't know. Was that wrong? Or is that right? I don't know. Now it's doing the right. I don't know that those blinkers were correct. Left and then a right for what we see here on the screen that did it. It was doing a right and then a right. So I think two right blinkers would have been correct. But see what it does. It's got a right blinker here. It's smoothly going. It's not crossing the lines in a dangerous way. No pedestrian interaction or car interaction I had to deal with, but it did it fine. The only thing I would see on those traffic circles was a weird little blinker confusion that I don't know how to explain with what I saw there. It felt, I think, two rights is what it needed. Let me know in the comments, for those of you who live in Carmel, Indiana, in the traffic circle capital of the world. All right, we got road work signs ahead. It looks like it's just cone traffic, maybe took away one of the lanes. We don't have any sort of issues, but this might be an area where I'm going to get an increased attention warning. I don't know. Let's see. Left blinker, because that's what we're doing at the traffic light. Yeah, I'm not getting any. You can see it sees the cones. But if I was in a true SAE level 3 and I was watching a video, this might be a place to say increased attention required, because it's non-standard, right? You know, what if one of these cones was, you know, in the lane of traffic? What if a worker was coming out with a tool or something? I mean, the car might react to it, but this construction area is where I think that alert might be important. Now, maybe I'm not getting it because I have zero speed. Maybe it'll come up later. What mode should we go in now? Should we leave it in hurry or let's just go back to standard? I don't know. Thinking through those profiles and what the release notes said, it did use the word changing the behavior, but then it kind of stuck to its guns on choosing a speed. I don't know if the profile will add aggressiveness for how tight of a gap it'll go into. Actually, we know it won't on the highway, right? Because I was in hurry mode and it was very hesitant to go into those small gaps that it very easily would have gone in on version 13.2.9. I'm convinced there's a lane changing stack of some sort, if that's even the right word, a creeping stack. Those two areas on this drive were rough. Meaning I felt tugs that were unnatural. It wasn't smooth and consistent. And now that I've driven on this for looking at, I don't even know, I got to be close to an hour now for the first time, it feels like it was just rougher. All right, so these cones are almost pushing me to cross the yellow line. Look at these. See these workmen? They're just crossing, jaywalking. That's why. Oh, there it is. Increased attention required. We got it. Now look, it's waiting for this car to come out. They're not taking, it is waiting on this car from the left to come out. It left room for that car and he's taking it. He's taking, now, but do you see I'm slowly creeping? So this car kind of needs to wait on the light to turn green to fit. So it'll be interesting to see. School bus there, still recognized as just a regular bus. It does not look like a truck though. That is a bus asset now. So what needs to happen here if I were driving manually? I've sort of already given a room for this guy to go. He can't fit because of the distance I gave. When the light turns green, I need to stay put and let him go. I still don't have the increased attention alert, but it did give it to me at that point. So there it is again. Keep your eyes on the road. Is that because I'm looking at the screen? I mean, I'm stopped, but it gave me that alert again. That's an interesting thought there. So this is in that, is this an SAE level 3 thing or is this that release note about detours and roads? No, because it did it at the railroad crossing. And I don't know if it matters, but up there on the other side of the road, if you can see it off of one of the cameras, I'm giving you a forward facing view, there's a railroad crossing straight ahead. There's going to be plenty of time to do more drives and railroad crossings. I'm just trying to get this first impressions video out to you guys that are craving some content on 14.1 and maybe the discussion I'm giving you. We'll do more unprotected left turn. Oh, look. See, he's kind of going for it. He must have seen the yellow turn. He's asserting, which is good. Because I think if the more he asserts, the more I'm going to stay put. I thought maybe he was asserting himself because he saw like a yellow light or something that was changing and he thought the light was turning on its own. Okay, we got a green light. So now these cars should move and he should go. Oh, we got a car that's not paying attention and we lost our whole light sequence. We lost our whole light sequence. Oh, because, oh. Okay, so, okay, let me explain what happened there. Oh, look at what created. Okay, this lane not being available. That front car is trying to turn right. We had a left turn arrow and a red light. He did not turn right on red when we got the green arrow, and that kept everybody here from turning left. But as soon as that car in front of me moved forward, this Dodge Charger was given the room and he came into the lane perfectly. So it left the gap, politely let him in front, and then proceeded. So still got this increased attention required. We're getting that a lot here. I don't know the frequency that that's happening. I was kind of looking forward when that happened, so I don't think that was me looking down or at the screen. I think this is it assessing the scenario of this is where if you were in SAE level 3 that you need to be paying attention. Now, I wonder if I start looking at my phone in this mode, and I'm just kind of looking down, and I'll open the X app, and if it's going to kind of give me that alert, I'm kind of glancing up with my eyes, and lots of notifications. You guys are writing me, asking me where my videos are. I'm not getting the alert for pay attention to the road after 7 seconds like you do on the highway when you're looking at your phone. So if this were SAE level 3 and it wants me to be paying attention right now, does it matter while I'm not driving? I think the answer is no. But anyway, it's just another one of those use cases where you're like, how do they implement that? And what are the requirements? I think the only requirement is to alert the driver when their attention is needed. And I think that's what we've got there. We probably need an audible chime, something distracting to kind of get your attention. And you know how sometimes on the previous version when you had the little green lights and you lost your attention monitoring, you had to kind of give it the side eye, as Viv said one time, to, you know, get it to pay attention that you're looking. If you had glasses on or if your hat was down just right, you know, it would kind of change its behavior on how much attention it needed and how you had to re-verify it every few minutes or, I don't know, something like that. So, all right, we got a green arrow again. What are we going to do? Dodge Charger, go around. Are we going to go around it? Oh, come on, car, you can go right. All right, now people are honking. We're going to lose it again. It's going to turn yellow on us. This Charger should be going to the left. Okay, go. We got a green light. Go. He's turning right, too. He didn't have a blinker on. Okay, so that car was actually going straight. Well, you know what? I think we got to see a really good scenario there with pay attention to the road or attention is needed, because that was dynamic. That wasn't something you could map. There was lane confusion with the drivers and what they were legally allowed to do and what we would be allowed to do. You know, had we been in the lead car, I bet if had I not taken over, we might have created confusion if we were going straight, which is what this pay attention means if you're going to level 3 with the driver in the seat. You know, you got to get them to pay attention when they're needed, and you have to recognize when they're needed and not. See more Cybertrucks around here. That's great to see. Well, we have FSD return programmed in here, and we've just got about a mile to go. And let's kind of start to wrap up what we've seen here. What a long wait for FSD 14. Longest wait we've ever had on an FSD update. But FSD 13.2.9 was really, really good. It had its quirks. It definitely did not know how to park and start and end a drive. But all be gosh darn, it knows how to start an end of drive now. You know, I'm going to do curbside on this one because we haven't done that yet. And I've got this waypoint to kind of, in my neighborhood, pull over. So we're going to be a robo-taxi pulling over at a pin on this one instead of driving around. And we'll discuss it up to that point. We are at FSD 14.1. You know, it was supposed to be out about a week ago. They found a bug, and Elon made the comment about adding more, a couple more features. Not sure what those features were. This version is ready for wide release. If anyone watching this video needed to hear my opinion on that, this is ready for wide release. Do not wait on this. This is better than 13.2.9. It is not as polished as 13.2.9 on some of the creeping and lane changes, and you might notice some differences, but it's conservative and safe. It's not unsafe in any of those areas. The beginning and ending of drive parking functionality is a game changer on point-to-point driving, that FSD brings to the house. If anything is going to start to sell FSD, it's starting a drive and ending a drive like it was a cab. Game changer. I still got to select it, still got to tell it, but if I was in the back seat in a robotaxi in Austin or San Francisco, or hopefully Jacksonville soon, if anybody's paying attention, I could have selected where to park. All right, forward-facing unprotected left. It's nice. Didn't completely stop waiting on two cars and rolling across the road perfectly. No issues there. FSD 14 does not feel sentient to me yet. That word sentient does not apply. It feels like FSD 13.2.9 with some parking functionality added, some new profiles that perhaps are better designed, a little bit of creep behavior, a little bit of lane change behavior that I wouldn't call better, but it's good, and the number of parameters working and the latencies and everything that I was feeling were solid. And there's our pin, and there's our curbside, and it parked. Ladies and gentlemen, Tesla AI, you deserve a lot of credit. Ashok and your team, Elon, if you're watching this, thank you for working on this problem. It's a hard problem to solve. We are getting really, really close. The AI4 cars drive so well already, and you just made them better. Can't wait for the Cybertruck. Gosh, we need some improvements on the Cybertruck. And I'm just going to end this video with, we need to understand the path for Hardware 3. What are we going to do for the Hardware 3, folks? A lot of people invested in this Kickstarter of sorts to bring this FSD journey along the path. We got to figure out, or at least be honest with them, where we're going with this. It may get better, but if it's not going to be at the same level, then just say we're not going to get there, and this is how we're going to make you whole or take care of you, or not. Just say it. Honestly, I think free FSD transfer is the best mitigation. Obviously, it's not going to make a lot of people happy, and it might create some class action lawsuits. I don't think Hardware 3 could do what we just did today in any near term. Maybe there's some distillation that can happen, and it'll get really, really good. But what I felt today, I think, needs every bit of compute we got, and maybe more, which is what AI5 is going to bring. Any case, let me just finish with that statement, because that's where I wanted to end this video. Thank you guys for joining me today. There's going to be more videos, but I don't know how many a day I'll be able to do. But thanks for sticking with me. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.